Well, you hit, I get a bit more on the mic, mate.
Bit more on the mic. Okay.
There we go. There we go. There we go.
I'm going to adjust my... Dan, while I adjust my mic...
Let's get comfy.
...position, tell everyone why we're here.
Matt's going to... While Matt adjusts his mic position, I'm going to tell everyone why we're here. We're back again with the headphones. Matt's just adjusting my headphone level. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah, that's lovely. That's lovely. We're back. Season 4 of the podcast.
It's kind of... It's a new thing, though.
It's a new format.
It was my idea. Shall I explain it?
Yes. But shall I say welcome to that? Welcome, everyone, to the Urchin. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the Urchin Studios podcast.
Matt's- so, this is season 3, and the whole point of this one is that...
Season 4.
Is it season 4?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we had the season 2 was just Jordan. Yeah.
Yeah, and then season 3 was us relaunching the podcast, and now we're relaunching it again.
So, the idea with this is, rather than the kind of big ticket podcasts that we had before that were essentially interviews, I thought it might be nice just to do a weekly one and keep it. Oh, look, I'm gonna set
this is what gonna set
do.
A timer.
I'm gonna set a timer just to,
I think I need to get your pop shield, you know.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you know, no, you to don't. try yourself up.
There we go.
Try plausive. That's nasty.
Well, let me
that's
kind of nasty. Keep it anyway. So this is 28, so I'm gonna
get your pop
28
shield.
Minutes. So Danny's so professional. All right, okay. So the idea of this is it's a weekly podcast. It's going to be short and it's going to be weekly because as someone who really likes podcasts and is still a podcast, I like the kind of weekly ones that are a bit. And we also thought for our industry, for like recording studio and musician people, there's kind of nothing like that. And so we've given ourselves up to Christmas, right? We're going to do this every week.
Yeah.
Up until Christmas. I get to say that now. This could be the only
it's
one.
It's good, like, but it's all part of the creative process, isn't it? You have to keep trying things. You know, I was thinking about this on my way in, and I was like, we sort of rebooted the podcast 3 times, but that's a bit, it's very much like making a record.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
You try different things out. You
exactly.
make something, try and do it to the best kind of, the best result of that incarnation of the thing you're making.
I think what you're trying to say, Dan, is that if our podcast was the Beatles, season 1 was like, you know, was like
Love Me Do.
Love Me Do. And now this is Sgt. Pepper's. That's what you're saying.
This is like, that's saying, can we make it Revolt? Oh, shit. Can we make it Rubber Soul?
Rubber
I'm
Soul.
Not ready for the Sgt. Pepper podcast yet. That's a lot of production values.
That's also when we have a budget, we get some sponsorship. We drop loads of mushrooms and acid.
Exactly. And we get a proper, we get like, I don't know, who would, we get like Paul Letworth to produce the podcast.
Yeah.
Is this a segue?
What do you mean?
Is it a segue into talking about the new Beatles track?
Oh yeah, could be. Damn, you're good.
How's that?
Okay.
Well, I felt like we were going to talk about it.
No, let's talk about it, because that is definitely happening at the moment. So, Dad, you go first.
Okay, so it dropped on what, Thursday?
Dropped on Thursday.
And I listened. I gave it 24 hours. I didn't kind of want to...
Can I just say, I had an alarm set.
Did you?
For 2.
Huge.
Yeah.
You.
I'm a big Beatles fan.
Yeah.
But you go first, Dad.
I'm not a bigger Beatles fan. I think my girlfriend is a bigger Beatles fan than both of us.
Wow.
She was in a special club. There was a Beatles club in... That's another aside. But, so now and then. No, I listened to it about 6 o'clock on Friday. I let it, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't want to. I played hard to get a little bit with it.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's my
summary.
The sum total of the criticism.
Yeah. No, I mean, I have. It feels right. It feels like a Beatles song.
Yeah.
First of all, I mean, as it should, but you know, I feel like I can't remember the name of the last one that came out about however many years ago.
Free as a Bird.
Yeah. This feels more right than that somehow.
It feels like more of a Beatles song than Free as a Bird.
Yeah.
Which did just, you know, they just didn't have the technology to do what they've done to it now.
Yeah. Whereas this, it's a John Lennon song. It's not, I've looked at the, have you looked at the credits? Okay, he's looked at the credits. So it's not a Lennon-McCartney, it's a John Lennon song. But it does.
Is it Lennon and McCartney on the Just the writing credit. Really?
Just John Lennon credits.
Really?
I'm going to double check now. That's part of the credits.
Yeah.
But yeah, but it does, it feels like a Beatles song.
Sure.
Any criticisms?
Yeah. Well, I just want to say that I obviously listened to it and I obviously loved it. And I would say that, I mean, I just hold the Beatles catalogue in such fucking high regard. It's, you know, just the best stuff ever recorded. And obviously this just doesn't come close to that. That being said, how can you not be moved by hearing John Lennon's voice so clear?
Yeah.
And the whole romance of the thing of just all four of them playing together.
Yeah.
But I would say that, you know, the story of it is better than the song. Than the result of the song.
Okay. No, I think...
Is that harsh?
That's
just how I feel.
It's your opinion that's and you're entitled to it. I mean, you're wrong, but... No. No, no. I think... I actually enjoy listening to it.
I did, yeah, for sure.
Rather than just sort of like, does this tick the boxes of my very high expectations? Like my first listen, I was kind of like, you know, but you kind of go like, oh, is that Ringo drumming? Is that, you know, you're not sort of immersed in the song, but I've listened to it 5 or 6 times now. And
so I listened to this. I got to say that just to say, I think that no other sort of musical practitioner alive seems to understand the Beatles better than Giles Martin.
Yeah.
Like those remixes that he did of like...
Well...
I thought they were amazing.
I don't like... The only one that I've really... The remixes don't matter to me particularly.
Well...
Do you know what I found about... Revolver was the one I listened to a couple of times, right?
Yeah.
And my... honest experience of it was like, from a technical point of view, it's lovely and everything. My experience as a music lover, which is the most important thing, was that it was like the original mixes, but significantly less exciting.
I didn't have that reaction to it. So when, I think the first one was Sgt. Pepper that they said that they were going to remix. And I think when I read the press release for it, I was just like, oh, fucking right, brilliant. You're going to remix Sgt. Pepper, are you? Want to fucking repaint the Mona Lisa while you're at it, or you know what I mean? I was really angry, and I was all ready just to hate it, and I just absolutely loved it. It was like I felt it was like a sort of restoring an old painting, and I felt the Sgt. Pepper one, well, all of them actually, they feel that they still feel like a Beatles. You know, you haven't redesigned it.
Yeah, of course.
It still feels like, just the colours are a bit brighter and it just, you can hear more detail.
Yeah, interesting.
And so, but it didn't feel less exciting.
So I think
I listened to both and I love both.
Yeah, I think something different happens with the Revolver because of the original stereo mixes, I guess you're talking about.
Yeah.
Are they original stereo mixes? No.
I think it came out in Motha, because, you know, I'm not that much of a Beatles geek.
So there's definitely a mono mix of it.
Yeah.
Did it come out in stereo at the time?
I think it came out as stereo kind of after.
Yeah, okay. So that's interesting because it's not the authentic original mix.
Yeah.
But for me, when Taxman starts with like, whatever it is, the fucking voice in one ear and the guitar in the other, and the drums, everything's hard panned.
Does that trigger you?
No, I love that.
Okay.
It's so striking when you listen in 2022 or whatever, you know, in the 2020s. It's so dramatic and so striking. For me, when you take that away for me, it feels like it's moderating the mix when you start adding stereo reverbs and like not having things completely hard panned.
Right.
And I guess I can't come back from that. When listening to from that point, I'm always like, this is already less exciting in some way.
Interesting. You know? And I think Revolver was the first one that they did where they didn't have stems. So they got stems from AI.
Right.
Didn't they AI out?
Yeah.
The stems.
Have you tried AIing out stems?
Yeah, I did actually.
How'd it go?
Well, I tried AIing out some drums.
Okay.
And I just Googled whatever free AI thing.
Vocalremover.ai. I think it's the first one that comes up.
It was some drums. And it was something that I played on. I won't go into why I was doing that, but it was okay. It was a bit, there were quite a lot of like MP3 type artifacts.
Okay, yeah, interesting.
Glitchy shit.
Yeah.
That.
Were you trying to take the drums away and use them for something else, or were you trying to rebalance?
Like, no, what it was for a, I did a masterclass.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah.
And I thought I was going to, I actually didn't end up doing it, but I thought I ended up, I thought they wanted me to play to tracks that I played on.
Okay.
So
that, like, let me take out my drums.
I'll take it because I didn't mix that one. So I didn't have the stems. I thought, oh, this might be an easy way of doing this.
Yeah.
And it wasn't good enough to do it.
Yeah. Okay.
But
I
didn't pay for it.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
yeah.
What? So I have used it. I mean, I actually had somebody, come in who wanted some mixing done, but he didn't actually have the multi-tracks.
Right.
I was like, first of all, we can kind of master this and that's about it. But then I thought, okay, let's try a bit of AI. The one that I've used, what you can do quite well is rebalance stuff. So, and it, what it will do is like, it knows what a vocal sounds like.
Yeah.
And it knows what drums sound like. Everything else, I think it's kind of, I haven't tried any of the super duper ones. But what I was able to do with this
guy. But did you pay for yours? The one that you end up using, did you pay for it?
Yeah, it was only just a Patreon though.
Okay.
Because it was like, I wasn't trying to take anything away. It's just, oh, this vocal needs some compression on it. And if you solo things, or rather, yeah, if you solo the vocal, you're like, that is 90% of the vocal, but it's not quite, something's not quite right.
Yeah.
And likewise, it depends on the material. I have used on something else as well, where someone was just doing a song for fun. And I took away the vocals and it seemed like that there was some brass in the track, for example, when the brass coincided with the backing vocals, there was some trouble.
Right.
You know, it's when things are, or if you've got a keyboard with like a choir preset or something,
yes,
you know, it certainly gets confused about whether that's a voice or not.
But I mean, this stuff is just only going to get better. Okay, I wonder if in 15 years, I'm doing a mix today.
I know.
And an annoying thing about mixing, particularly because, you know, I'm working in tools and the person's working in Logic, is that it's 2 hours of just fuckery just to get it back again, right?
Yeah.
To import it in. So I wonder if the you do the production, the person just sends you a WAV, a stereo WAV, and you click the button and it just splits everything out.
I suppose so.
Is that what we're looking at, Dan?
But why would you? If you had to, obviously, that's great.
Because I'd rather do that than spend 2 hours fucking around with, like, people.
I think the problem is that you are, no matter how good that automated process is, it's taking creative decisions away from you.
Why?
Because if something's got some reverb on, for example.
Yeah, but the AI generation can split them out.
Mm.
I'm just saying, no, I mean, Dan, why would you not do that? You got a WAV and you go, right, split this into its component parts with and without effects. Boom, boom.
Okay, gotcha.
And it's flawless. There's no difference between that and someone giving you the stems.
It'd be easier if just the open project system would actually work.
Yeah,
between,
that would be...
would be between DAWs.
No, that would be good. But I mean, here's a question.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about AI? Dan, as someone that works in audio.
I mean, how long have we got left on the timer?
We've got 13 minutes and 30 seconds.
Okay, cool. What time's Danny Bennett's bragging? Okay, all right. And she's getting here in 23 minutes.
So you remembered her surname.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anna Midden, middle name.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, first of all, the term AI, when did AI quote unquote, as the Americans say, quote unquote, AI come out about a year ago. ChatGPT sort of dropped sort of August last year or something.
AI didn't come out a year ago.
No, but I mean, what I was trying to say is ever since ChatGPT
right.
was was kind of launched as an open platform, suddenly every single automated process,
any algorithm done, is called an AI.
Spreadsheet now, you put one in one column and two in the next column, total three, that's AI now. Everything's become, everything's been called AI.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of things kicking around which are not AI.
Okay.
They're just clever programming.
Let's just not get lost in the weeds here of the definition of AI. Because let me ask this question another way.
Well, no, I think how it's important about to know.
How are you feeling about technology and automation, AI, whatever you want to call it, in relation to what you do specifically?
Okay.
As a mixer, engineer, producer?
I think I'm not too concerned about it for now.
Be concerned. The robots are coming down.
The robots are coming. I think that within the sort of the landscape that we have at the moment, I think you've got to put it into context. So at the moment, everyone's trying to churn out a track as fast as possible for as little money as possible. And this is what the kind of the streaming model encourages you to do. You know, you've got record labels working, like major labels working to the major label model with lots of money. You've got indie labels trying to make records mostly on a shoestring budget, unless it's Adele, when the money is limitless. And then you've got people in their bedrooms, you know, or living rooms or whatever, but people just making stuff on their own. I think for the people who are making stuff on their own, it's like from a pure creative point of view, it's great if you can get your music sounding as finished as possible without kind of having to spend money on things. I'm not articulating that very well. I guess most of the time, music making is a collaboration.
Yes.
So if I mix music, you mix music. And I guess the question is, in 10 years' time, is mixing music going to be irrelevant? Will a computer do it for you?
I guess that's what I'm asking. I mean, that's really it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's not going to record, it's not going to mic up your drum kit.
It's not going to mic up your drum kit. But I think that.
But it might, it might fix your drum sounds.
For me, there feels like there's no doubt that music is going to, that algorithms and AI are going to generate music without anybody's help, right?
Yeah.
The question is, what's that music going to be like? Mm. Is it going to hit the mark commercially? Mm. Is it going to supersede or take over? To what extent will that take over what we're doing? Mm. And on bad days, I think, well, we're all fucked, and we're never going to work in. And then I think, well, actually, I mean, someone described it as AI being a co-pilot. I think it's going to be more of a co-pilot for what we're doing, because I feel like
probably autopilot's the better word, isn't
maybe,
it?
But I mean, I feel that a lot of really good mixers and producers are hired because of their taste, effectively.
Yeah, that's the most important thing.
And they have sort of very clear vision. And you know, like when you give someone who doesn't have taste, but who doesn't really know the process of making music, you give them one of those keyboards with 1,000 sounds on, it's just a nightmare. You'd be much better just giving them a piano and saying, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think AI is going to give us so much choice. And also, I think the best music that I make or is when an artist has a really clear conviction. Mm-hmm. And it's just knows, and I'm not sure to what extent AI will help with that, because we're already like lost in choice and
presets
and then essentially AI could come along and give us endless amounts of possibilities. I don't know to what extent it can help there, but I
think the big question when it comes to, say, to songwriting.
Yeah.
Because actually, I think that's where I think the question of taste is a bit further down the line than sort of, you know, at the moment, particularly at the moment. Actually, I was listening to some like 2000s pop yesterday, because, you know, that's how I like to spend my my Sundays.
That's how I spend my weekends, you know, mate.
But that era... No,
sorry, just what were you listening to?
NSYNC.
NSYNC, really?
Do you know why?
Really?
Because I was thinking about... I was going over the process in my head of how we make this, how we make this podcast.
Yeah.
And once we've recorded this, someone's got to deal with it and put it out tomorrow.
Right.
And who's that going to be? It's going to be me. You know, and then I was like, what song's that? Oh, it's NSYNC. Anyway, so small tangent, coming back to where we were. The songwriting, the songcraft in that era of pop, it's quite complicated. There's lots of moves and there's lots of kind
of
false choruses and sort of pre-choruses that
more
feel like...
More harmony than now as well, because now there's no harmony.
Yeah, so at the moment, it's like if...
That is, it's not true. Harmony's coming back.
Sure, yeah.
Sorry, yeah.
But within the era of pop music that we may be coming to the end, as you say, harmony may be coming back. If you get in a computer to write a simple pop song like that, it's probably not going to have that much trouble. The lyrics, that's another matter.
Mm.
But I mean, even at the moment, I feel like the sort of, there's a lot of repetition. You know, obviously not all pop music, but like, if you want to make a pop song at home and fire it out there, I feel like often the lyrics are not really kind of, a lot of it doesn't feel authentic to me. There's a lot kind of repetition of themes and a lot of repetition of lyrics and such like. So that's what the machines are going to do first, is that kind of very generic kind of, maybe I was thinking it.
Well, Dan.
Maybe I was thinking of you. But see, that's already probably more interesting. I'm not shitting on pop. I love pop music.
I love pop music. That's interesting.
But
I mean,
the sort of pop music that goes in the background of like a episode of Love Island or something, you know, where they're not those aren't syncs. They have library music which is sort of written to brief.
Totally. Because I feel that the library music is definitely going to go first. I mean, this is the thing, that is that it's going to play out in ways that we just are going to be really surprising.
Yeah.
And we're going to go, whoa. But I wonder, you know, if you have like an Olivia Rodrigo or take a really massive artist, so much of what the appeal to that artist is that people feel that they know that person.
Yeah.
That person is authentic. You know, that person shares things in social media. And in a way that, you know, like an algorithm is never going to...
Well, it's authentic, isn't it? There's an authenticity. Like, we don't just listen to music because of songs. It's part of the personality of the artist and their story. Because So just going back to when AI came out last year, or it took a leap is the best way to put it.
Yes.
There was tracks kicking around with like the voice of The Weeknd on there.
Yeah.
So suddenly you can just write your lyrics and your melody and have The Weeknd sing it.
Yeah.
And those tracks went viral, but only for kind of a couple of weeks. And I've not really, I mean, I've heard funny stuff.
It was a curiosity though, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Like there's that, I don't know if you don't really use TikTok, but I don't know if you've seen on YouTube or Instagram, you know, for the boomers. There's that guy, There I Ruined It. You know?
Yeah, he's cool.
That's the best, what it could
that's
be.
That's really cool.
I don't know if it's he.
But the one that I listened to was just like, bloody hell, was McCartney singing God Only Knows.
Right, okay, yeah.
You know, I obviously love the Beatles. God Only Knows is one of the best songs ever. Like, I listened to that once and went, fucking hell.
Yeah.
That sounds exactly like McCartney in 1968. Yeah. I haven't listened to it again.
No, well, that's the thing. What it means to you is like, oh, that's an interesting, it's the effect is not, it's not more emotional McCartney singing, or it's not more beautiful or less beautiful than Brian Wilson. It's just like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah, that's weird, you know? Exactly.
But it's like going into a sort of museum of curiosities or something, or the Horniman Museum, and like, whoa, a giant stuffed walrus, that's weird. You know, but okay. It's not actually McCartney, so it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. So look, we're a tight We've got 2 minutes left. Three minutes left. Okay. What else do we want to pack into this episode? I just wanted to say, part of this podcast is to talk about things that are happening at the studio. The Loki soundtrack's just come out.
Yeah.
Natalie Holt did part of with us.
Yeah. Did a bit of something behind this very wall.
Yes.
Here.
I played a bit of drums.
Played a bit of drums on it.
Adam Betts played most of the drums. Yes. But I played a bit of drums.
and his loafers, I believe, played a key part in that.
I don't know that.
There's a video of Adam doing some stomps.
Oh, yeah.
And I think there's someone's commented underneath about the tuning of his moccasins or something.
I didn't get the loafers gig. Yeah. Betts always gets loafers gigs.
He's got the best loafers in the business, mate.
But yeah, Natalie's great. And just congratulations, Natalie. It sounds amazing. Yeah. And
have you been watching it?
No, I haven't been watching it.
Well, you should.
I should, but I listened to the soundtrack came out on, the first three seasons came out on Spotify. She really is great. It sounds fantastic.
Smashing it.
Well done, Natalie. What other news?
What else has been going on? I'm totally blanking.
What are you doing this week, Dan?
So we've got Danny Bennett Sprague in.
Yes.
With Josh Scarborough. Yeah. And
can we say that? Say who's in?
I don't think so.
Should we bleep those names out?
Yeah, we'll just bleep that out.
Okay.
So that's more work for me to do after this. Great. So that's about three or four edits I've got to do.
Sorry, mate.
But yeah, I think it's... Let's try and reiterate what we're trying to do with this podcast.
Yeah.
So we're just out the back bit, which used to be a pile of rubbish after we built the studio. It's now been painted and whatnot.
Yeah, by Dan.
And wallpapered. And if you're watching the street, this is my wallpapering here.
Yeah.
It's not perfect, but you know, you do stuff and you learn. But yeah, we're trying to make this a little bit more rough and ready than previous attempts. Because we want to try and do it weekly and we've just got to have something set up. I feel like the thing's going to make it the most interesting is if people comment and feedback to us.
Where can they send their comments?
So they can write a letter, send it to
P.O. Box. No,
P.O. Box. F-U-C-K-O-F-F. You can email podcast@urchinstudios.co.uk. That's podcast@urchinstudios.co.uk, not .com.
And also, we'd really like to hear from you. And if there's things that you'd like Dan and I to discuss, or there are things
or
that,
if you disagree, or if vehemently, you disagree.
Yeah,
that's perfectly valid.
Can I give a bit of feedback as to what I'd like to happen next week? You're really comfortable, right?
This is great.
And that's it.
You're balanced on the edge.
I've had like one cheek on this sofa for like the last half an hour.
Yeah.
So we need some sort of...
We need to make it a bit more comfortable.
For Matt. Yeah.
There's plenty. I mean, this is in some ways an experiment. We've got mics on stands. I think it could be on like an arm and all this kind of stuff.
Time's up, mate.
Yeah. I would also say...
Sorry, time's up. You have to save that for next week.
There's a stoppage time because of the edits they have to do.
Oh really?
This is
injury time.
I was going to say,
does it go to penalties?
It could do. Yeah. You don't just have to email us. Just send us an Instagram message, or WhatsApp or an iMessage or whatever. You know, just like we'd love to hear what you got to say. You know,
Danny Bennett Sprague is going to be here in 9 minutes.
When is Danny Bennett Sprague going to be here?
Okay, she's going.
Thanks everyone for listening. Hopefully this will come out on a Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
If it doesn't, it's Dan's fault. How are we going to sign this off?
We just got the music, which will kind of fade up.
Can you bleed that out as well? Sorry. I swear too much. Sorry. Yeah, sorry, everyone.
This will carry an explicit, like all good 2000s
records. Can we have faded out by now?
Yeah.
Done it. How did that affect? Did that record?
I'm going to say.